All right. Welcome to Coffee with Marcus Mark, the number one stock market show on Spotify and one of the most popular market updates on YouTube. In this show, we talk about what's happening in the markets and how we're trading them. Today is Wednesday, July 26th. The Dow's 12-day win streak is in jeopardy. It's Fed Day. There's 100% probability the Fed will raise rates. Alphabet jumps, Microsoft flops, Snap tanks, and Boeing soars. Plus, what is the number one stock in the S&P 500 today? We'll look at that. And was I wrong about RTX? We'll take a look at RTX. And should I trade Microsoft with the wheel strategy? As you can see, there's a lot to talk about, so let's go ahead and get started. Now, if this is your first time here, my name is Mark Hodge. I'm head coach at Rockwell Trading. Today, I will be running the show solo. We could call it Coffee with Mark because Marcus is busy. But even though I'm running the show solo, I promise you're in good hands. You could say that we have a ton of trading experience here at Rockwell Trading, decades, in fact. We know our stuff. We're not afraid to tell it like it is. And if you're looking for some honest insight into the world of trading, then you are definitely in the right place. Now, before we dive in and look at opportunities that we've recently traded, let's take a look at what's moving the markets today. And here I have the S&P 500 up. S&P turning negative, but yesterday finishing higher by another 0.3%, closing at highs. We see here that we took out this close on Wednesday of last week. So new closing highs for the year yesterday. The Dow continues its win streak up 12 consecutive days, trying to make it number 13. We were negative with the Dow, just turned positive, up 18, 19 points right now. So it's going to be close. We do have the Fed, so it's a big, big day for the markets. But right now, Dow surprisingly making a reversal after a lower start, now in positive territory. On its largest win streak since, or longest win streak since February of 2017. So more than 6 years ago was the last time when the Dow was on such an impressive win streak. We'll see if the Dow can have this win streak continue at the close today. Right now up 22 points. Now, let's take a look at the NASDAQ also. Finishing higher yesterday, a little bit of weakness in the NASDAQ compared to the S&P and also the Dow. We see that the S&P pulled back a little bit over the last couple of days. Well, this was actually back on Thursday, a little bit of a pullback, and has since pushed higher, as we mentioned previously, closing at highs of the year. The NASDAQ, though, pulling back on Thursday and just kind of sitting back here at these levels just above 14,000. So a little bit of profit taking potentially in the NASDAQ, and blue chips just playing catch up since the Dow here we see it's been on this fantastic win streak, but up 7% year to date. And if we look at the NASDAQ still up 33%, even though slowing down right now. So Dow playing a little bit of catch up. What's moving the markets? Well, right now, it's all about earnings and the Fed. And if we take a look at the economic calendar, we do see that new home sales came in a little bit lower than expected. But the biggie this week, hands down, is at 11 a.m. Pacific. So 3 hours from now, 2 p.m. Eastern. And we mentioned before that the reaction typically comes in three waves. The first is the Fed, the rate decision and the statement. Now, this is where probabilities based on Fed funds futures basically say, hey, traders expect a quarter point hike, period. So a surprise would be no hike or a 50 basis point hike. But at this point, a quarter point hike is priced into the market. But what will get interesting is the statement itself. So there could be a reaction. Of course, if there's a surprise of the rate decision, an absolute reaction, positive or negative. But the FOMC statement is what traders will look at for clues as to what the Fed might have planned for the future. But then you also have the second wave after the press conference. This is where there's some Q&A, and Fed Chair Jerome Powell restating the statement, clarifying some things, but you never know if there's something that's going to catch investors off guard. So that's typically where you have a second reaction 30 minutes later. And then the third reaction is typically the following day. Once the dust has settled, we'll see if there's any direction, any clarity on what traders think should happen based on the information that we get this afternoon. Tomorrow morning, we also have advanced GDP and unemployment claims as well to spice things up a little bit. So Fed day, busy day. And if we look at the CME FedWatch tool, we see 96.5% chance of a quarter point hike, a 3.5% chance of a 50 basis point hike. So the market is pricing in with 100% certainty. Don't like saying that too often, but 100% certainty that the Fed will raise rates. And this is where, again, wording is key here, because the Fed doesn't want to make or repeat mistakes from the 70s and 80s when inflation ran rampant and they were quick to slow things down with their rate hikes instead of pressing forward. And that just led to more surges in inflation. And so are we in a different environment now? Possibly, but the economy is resilient. It remains strong. Jobs are strong as well. And so if the Fed with their policy at least has some strong words, that could be a good thing, just because it shows that the Fed is determined to keep rates down or keep rates elevated to keep inflation down and really fix the inflation problem rather than let up and see inflation get out of control again. So, hey, we'll see what the Fed thinks this afternoon. And in addition to what's going on with the Fed, we also have earnings. And so if we look at the Earnings Whispers calendar here, Mastermind member posted this in our Mighty Networks group. We see that today, before the bell, AT&T, Boeing, Coca-Cola, a few biggies, Union Pacific. But yesterday, after the close, Microsoft and Alphabet, as well as Snap. So some real big earnings movers, potentially, in Microsoft and Alphabet. And actually, the reaction wasn't a disappointment at all. Let's first take a look at Google. G-O-O-G-L is the ticker symbol. And look at this. Google up almost 6%. Big gap higher. This puts Google back at levels that we haven't seen since April of 2022. So breaking through these recent highs. Nice move in Google. If we look at earnings here, we see that they beat on earnings. They also beat on revenue. One of the things that investors were really interested in, they actually did better than expected revenue from their ads business, even though industry-wide there is a slowdown. They also said that their growth was fueled by its cloud computing segment, something that investors are focusing on. And they announced that its chief financial officer will step into a new role as president and chief investment officer, so CIO. Hey, investors liking the moves, the news, what was said, and Google up almost 6%. Now, Microsoft, exact opposite here. Maybe a little profit-taking, too, on this one. I mean, we know that Microsoft has gone crazy this year, up 38% for the year. And a little bit of a drop today. Let's see where we're at. Down 4.5% right now. So on the flip side of the coin, there was also a positive earnings per share or earnings beat, revenue beat, but guidance came in lower than analysts expected. So Microsoft, they announced a slowing revenue growth within its cloud business. This was a concern for investors, and that led to lower guidance. So Microsoft investors a little bit worried, or just taking profits after the nice run-up we've had this year. A few other movers, though. It's been an interesting day for earnings reactions, and one is Snap. look at Snap. Snap snapping this uptrend, getting through the 50-day moving average with a clear and decisive move lower, down 19% on the day, trading back at levels that we had back in June after a really nice run up here. Now, they beat on earnings. They still reported a loss, but did better than expected on earnings, also better than expected on revenue. But traders not liking what Snap had to say. And we could also look at a few others. Let's look at Boeing, BA. And this is where some of these blue chips and Dow components really helping out the Dow stay afloat when the NASDAQ and S&P 500 are lower for the day. Here we see Boeing coming in, reporting a loss, but a lower, smaller loss than expected. Also better than expected revenue, up 5.4%. And what is the best performing stock of the day in the S&P 500? Surprise, surprise, a railroad, UNP, Union Pacific. Look at this, a railroad transportation stock. This is a huge move for this type of stock. And yeah, it can go on runs, but this gap, this jump is just huge. We see that they actually had worse than expected earnings. So earnings per share lower than expected. Also revenue lower than expected. But there was an announcement that they were going to have a new CEO and also make changes to its board. And investors seem to applaud that decision, love the idea, because UNP jumping to levels that we haven't seen since August of last year. So trading in a nice little range this year. And this is one that we actually traded back here with the wheel strategy. And it's a lower volatility stock, so it doesn't move a whole lot. But we liked it back here. Had a nice 10% gain in like one day after getting assigned. So we just closed the trade. Had a freebie there. Sometimes there's the saying, you don't look a gift horse in the mouth. I haven't looked a horse in the mouth before, but I'll believe the saying. And if it's free, you take it, right? And that's what we did back here on this jump. Haven't traded UMP since then, but nice little run up here. Nice move up 10% here. So just a lot of movement going on because of earnings. And right now, the overall market's still down. But if you look at what's going on, there just isn't a lot of movement in the market right now, which tells us that traders and investors are waiting. And the VIX up a little bit with the move lower, which is to be expected. But even here, we see that, you know, this is a big week for the economic calendar, big week for earnings. There's the Fed, a lot going on, and there really isn't that extra volatility being priced into S&P 500 options right now, with the VIX really at historic lows. So when we look at extremes here, it jumped up to 30 when we had the banking crisis in March, and since then just drifting lower and trading around 14 historically is a low. So we'll see. Maybe there's some volatility to come, maybe some uncertainty, maybe some Fed wording that spooks the market a little bit. And we'll just have to wait for this afternoon to find out. Let's see, 2 hours, 44 minutes, 38 seconds, and we will know. So let's go to PowerX Optimizer here. And let's first take a look at RTX. Because yesterday I mentioned RTX as a possible earnings play. RTX moved lower, and actually, let's do this. Let's just double check. I might need to refresh my browser, but okay, yeah, I didn't see today's data. That's odd. I'll refresh that in the meantime. So from an earnings perspective and chart perspective, I really liked what I was seeing here, where we had RTX, Raytheon Technologies, breaking down a big gap, which could be, it could be an overreaction to news and some support down here at lower levels. So as far as an earnings play goes, this is exactly what I'm looking for. A stock that trades in ranges, maybe slightly bullish in a range, but getting beat up on some news, so some very specific data, rather than being in a downtrend and just, you know, sliding for months. Instead, it's been holding up strong, but then specific data and a reaction to that data left us with these really high inflated options prices. And as an option seller, that's exactly what I'm looking for, trying to take advantage of, you know, the higher options premium on a safer stock to get those higher returns for the year. So this is what I was looking for. But my concern was how this information, the problem that they were having with a rare condition in powder metal that's used to manufacture certain engine parts, how that might play out with the FAA and some of their the planes that those parts are in. I didn't feel comfortable with this being a one-off event and something that couldn't snowball into a bigger issue. So whenever we're trading the wheel, option premium is what leads us to pull the trigger on a trade. But when we're trading the wheel strategy, the number one rule in Fight Club, the number one rule in Wheel Club is only trade a stock that you want to own. So regardless of where the premium's at, and this is where a lot of traders got stuck in 2021, or even just stuck with some stocks that they really regret being in. They didn't have any goal of owning shares of the company. They didn't know what the business did, or it could be a losing business. It could have been just all hype based on future earnings, and you go into a higher interest rate environment and a company's not profitable and actually seeing bigger losses because of interest that's just super high compared to previous years. It left traders with some nasty positions that they really shouldn't have traded, and all they were focused on was the premium. That's not what we want to do. So the two most important things to me are, is it a stock that I want to own? And is it a strike price? Is it a price that I want to own the stock at? And this is where with my style of trading and what Marcus does and what we do at Rockwell Trading, we're always selling out of the money puts when we are putting on a wheel trade. This means that we are always going to get assigned and own shares at a discount from where it was originally trading. So yesterday when this was trading around 84, we could have sold the 80 strike, and that would be $4 lower if we were to get assigned. So I like the 80 level. And another way of looking at puts when you start off by selling puts with the wheel strategy is getting paid a dividend up front, right? Because you're getting paid, and yes, you could close the put for less than you received and take or more than you the credit you received, take a loss if you wanted to or had to or felt inclined to do so because you weren't convinced of the trade. But when I make that decision, when I pull the trigger, I'm fully committed to managing the trade, and I'm okay getting assigned. I'm okay being in the trade for months at a time if I need to. PNC is a perfect example. PNC, I've been in the trade for a while. There was this event that took place that drove regional bank shares lower, PNC in particular. And I was okay managing and seeing this trade through. Right now, I'm able to sell calls. I have the 136 call expiring Friday. I'll see if it expires, if I could buy it back at 90% of its max profit, which is my plan, or potentially roll. Right now, I'm in this and I feel comfortable being in PNC. And some traders say, well, you should get out. This, you know, banks are horrible. Well, I am okay owning this company because when I did my analysis, it was profitable. It was making money. And even if it drops, I'm okay adding more capital if needed or managing the trade to success. So with RTX, I just didn't have the same confidence. I know that we had some traders that commented on the video that took the trade and the trade's working out nicely. Fantastic for anybody that was willing to take the risk on the trade. It was a nice opportunity. I didn't make a mistake because I followed my plan. And the number one rule in the Wheel Club, only trade stocks that you want to own. Based on the data that was released, I didn't feel comfortable owning it, so I didn't want to put on the trade. Now, I mentioned, hey, what about Microsoft? Should we trade Microsoft? Actually, let's go to PowerX Optimizer. Let's use the PowerX tool here. And MSFT, should I trade Microsoft as an earnings play? There's this big move lower, could be an overreaction. And we see right now the strike available is 327.50. So 327.50 for Friday, you get 98 cents at a minimum. 82 cents would be that 30% annualized. For anybody that really wants to own shares of Microsoft and loves this as a buying opportunity to own shares, I don't think the 327.50 is bad. But that to me is more of a bullish want to position yourself in Microsoft rather than a textbook wheel trade. Because when I look at this chart, Microsoft has been in an uptrend and has been rallying. And what I would rather trade with a wheel strategy is a stock that's a little more sideways and range bound, trading in these ranges where you're slightly bullish or neutral. You don't expect a big move in either direction. Because if you really expected a big move to the upside, just owning shares or buying calls is probably the better trade. But if you're looking to capture this premium and trade these ranges and you're slightly bullish, I think the wheel is a fantastic high probability winning strategy that will allow you to get paid and own stock at a discount once you get assigned. So for me, it's a great strategy to trade, but I just don't see a nice opportunity with how I trade the wheel in Microsoft right now, because I don't see clear, strong support. Short-term support, maybe. And that's why if you wanted to use puts and selling puts to get into a position at this level, because you believe that Microsoft will continue to move higher. And if you're bullish Microsoft, then I think 327.50 looks great. But from a wheel trading perspective, I'd rather trade something like CTRA. Marcus just got out of this one last week, where you see that we've been in this really nice range. So we're drifting higher in CTRA, which is fine, but we're in this nice range. We're not just moving up where if there is a bigger pullback, then you could get caught up on the way down, right? Because if we get to 327.50, maybe 300 is the next level. And if we look at where support was, well, it's kind of hard to find really strong support after the bear market that we had last year and this big rally. So that's why I'm uncomfortable at these levels. But hey, if you want to own shares of Microsoft, I think 327.50 is a nice way to step in if that's your goal. Anyway, I think we went a little longer than we normally do. Hope you like the video. Hope you like the commentary and analysis. If you do, please give the video a thumbs up. If you're new to the channel, please subscribe. And we're going to be back here tomorrow. Until then, happy trading, everybody.